people. That is maybe 300 families, something like that.
About 2,500 Jewish families.
Yeah, about. And not how families, big, people.
Yeah,
could have been about 300 families.
And how about the community as a whole? How big was it?
Well, you see, the Jewish people lived in this town.
Were there no
our surrounding there? Was Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Within 20 miles of our town, there must have been at least 15.
But the whole town was Jewish.
The whole town was Jewish, except maybe 7-8 Gentile families.
I see.
That lived in the town with the Jewish people because they were in business.
Yeah, right. Now, I want to ask you about the type of house you lived in there.
We happened to have all, as I said before, 65% of the Jewish people, about that, 2% more, 2% less, were in the grain business, milling business. And we had some other special business. Of course, when my father lived, we were on a big scale. Him and his partner, when I left Europe, his partner lived yet. But my father died by accident. And he was with his partner, and they had a Gentile boy, only about 19 or 20 years old, that was driving their carriage. They had a landowner that they landed. They did business loan with him a couple of years, and they landed 20,000 rubles. That was the biggest loan they ever made to one landowner. And he went to Paris and he gambled away his estate. But another Gentile, a friend of my father, sent a telegram to my father that you better come out and see him. I heard that he lost his old estate. That was in the middle of January, and it was bitter cold. They went out there, his partner and him and the Gentile boy that was out with them coming back. A snowstorm developed. Mm-hmm. They were lost in the woods. My father died from that, and 2 years later, there happened to be the Gentile boy that was young and asked me. I'm only telling you what I was told, because I was less than 2 years older than my father, and I was told by the older members of the family. The boy died 7-8 months after his parents happened to work for us, and he worked for us, Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
But my father's partner lived.
It didn't
affect him. Although he was a little older than my father and a healthy Jewish man, so was my father. My father developed a sickness in his throat. And my mother took him to Odessa, which was the big doctors for us. It was by train, about 12 to 13 hours by train.
From Odessa?
From our town to Odessa. We had already a railroad then.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, Mrs. Deemer, it doesn't make no difference if we fill up the room with gold. She said, do anything you can to save. She said, we can't do it. We can prolong a little bit. He suffered for 2 years and died.
And he was in what business?
Well, we had at that time when my father lived,
for
a good many years, he had 2 threshing machines.
Uh-huh.
He used to buy up lumber. Not lumber, woods from the government, and then they would have maybe 40 or 50 men. And I was used to cut it down and sell it to lumber yards.
Oh, I see.
It was several businesses, but the main business was threshing machines and milling. What I call milling is this. The landowner of our city, which happened to be 3 very close to our city, within some of them in 5 of yours, some of them 6 of yours, but they owned thousands and thousands of acres.
Yeah.
At one time, dating back 300 years ago, our territory belonged most of it to Poland.
Well, now, did they grow wheat? Is that grain?
We had the best grain country in our territory for 50 years in every direction.
Did your father then rent out the threshers, or he bought...
He used to rent out the threshers.
Before
my father died, he sold the 2 old ones and bought a new one. Mm-hmm. I think they bought it from England. Used to run between 10 and 11,000 rubles, but that used to thresh out as much as 2,500 bushel of wheat a day. Of course, the bushels in Russia are different. They're only 40 pounds, up here at 60.
Well, then, did he actually use the threshers himself? And
he had a mechanic.
I see.
No, we used to have an overseer, an overseer be with him, but we used to have a mechanic and an assistant. This is all we used to furnish to the Gentile farmer, to the landowner. And the rest of the help, which used to run a lot of help, they used to have maybe 100, 200 people working, bringing in grain and taking it away and this. So that didn't belong to us.
Did your father's business work out of the house where you lived?
Well, he had to travel quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, can you tell me about that house? what your house was
like? We had a very nice large double house with a big piece of ground that must have been a good half acre or maybe even more in the back of it with the warehouses.
Do you remember how many rooms in your side of the house?
We had six, let's see, one, two, three, six or seven rooms. This, each house, about four rooms in each house.
I see.
And then we what was
the house?
Huh?
Did you own the house or did you rent it?
No, we owned the property.
You owned
most
any?
Of the Jewish people,
yeah.
Even the poorest people in our town that used to work as a laborer.
Yeah.
The business people used to help them. They should have their own homes. My father and maybe hundreds of them like him used to pay so much, and nobody died for a manga in our town. Well, because I remember even when I was young, when I'd come before Pesach, they used to have meetings and they'd get together and they assigned to each family so much according to what they needed. It was a well-run town, you could say,
yeah.
For what I remember. And it was not they used to be so nice that the poor people didn't feel that they were taking charge of. We make more, we help you. You make more, you'll help us. And that's the way it was working.
Did you have brothers and sisters in your family?
I had one. See, when my father's wife, first wife died, there was four boys in the house. Two of them were very young.
Mm-hmm.
And my father remarried. If I tell you your wife, you'll be here too long to
okay.
write a book.
Yeah, I just want to know how many. Were you
from
my
second marriage, I'm from the
second
marriage,
yeah.
One father.
Yeah.
There were five girls and two boys.
And what were you, older than or yeah?
I'm the youngest one.
You're the youngest?
Only 11. I'm the only one living, though.
And there were the four boys from the first marriage?
The four boys from the first marriage,
yeah.
they never come to this country. I was the first one.
Did any others come to this country?
I send afterwards for a brother and a sister. That is, for my brother I send myself, but my sister sold some property she had, and I advised her to come to the country. You may know my sister's children. Ann Album, George Album is my niece.
Yes.
Zelda Kaplan was the money store in Namstead.
Yes.
That's one of my nieces. And Sarah Kramer, that her husband has a store on the north side, a clothing store for a long time. They're all my nieces.
Now, I want to ask you a question. What were the languages that were spoken in your home?
In our home was Yiddish and Russian.
Mm-hmm.
My older brothers were able to, some of them speak German and Polish.
Mm-hmm.
But I and my younger brother next to me, we were only, well, he was familiar in German because he used to already travel with our threshing machines,
yeah.
And we had German landowners that we used to rent it to. But the rest of the older boys were Jewish, Russian, Polish, German.
Mm-hmm. But mostly Yiddish in the house.
Mostly Yiddish.
Yeah.
Plain
and
Yiddish.
Even Russian then in the community?
Russian
or?
Was only used with Russians.
Oh.
Russians were there. Later on, a lot of the students
mm-hmm.
that were older than me that come to see a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl couldn't get into a college in Russia
no.
unless you were one of the best. The reason why they used to give it because sometimes the country would have used as an educator and do certain things for the country. Well, we had one in the family, my brother's a boy, that my brother lived in a small village. In fact, he was a bookkeeper for the family and a mill that we used to do business with. The mills used to be this way. If you had spoken 3,000 ruble, that was your capital. You used to sign up that you deliver to the mill 2,000 bushel of wheat every month.
Mm-hmm.
If the market was slow and you didn't sell your flour, the landowner used to lend you 75% of the money
mm-hmm.
on your flour that was in the mill. So you can bring your next 2,000 bushels the next month. You had to sign a contract and you had to keep your contract, otherwise they wouldn't sign with your contract the next year in the mill. So we used to sell an awful lot of flour to Germany and Pasto.
That's why you were able to speak, that the family spoke German because of the...
Some.
There
was, you see, when Russia took away quite a bit of territory from Poland,
mm-hmm.
and a short distance away from our town...
You were close to the border?
You were far away from the border.
Oh.
It was at one time close to the border, but the Russia took away an
that's
awesome amount of
territory. That's what I mean. Before Russia took... some of this other
the flowers she took, part of it was Poland and part of it was Turkey. How do you like that? Because
well,
I had some of the farmers that used to do business with us told me, I never went that way, that direction. I went a different direction. I went like from Pittsburgh to Kennesburg, to Washington, and that way I traveled. But my older brother used to travel a different direction because big land on the... There was even yet the post directions of the post in written in Turkish. Only 40 girls from my town.
Oh. Well, excuse me for changing the subject. Can you tell me about your schooling in Russia?
Schooling was this way. Mostly was Hebrew.
Yeah.
I started work when I was 12 and a half years old.
How many years did you go to school?
I went to school in full till I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
Then I started to help out.
How old were you when you started to school?
You start in Russia not older than 4 years. When a boy is 4 years old, he goes to other people's
school. So you went to school from the age of 4 to 12?
To 12. Mm-hmm. And then I went half days.
After that?
For a couple of years.
Yeah.
Then when I traveled away, I'll make the story short, when I started to go out, I used to get supposed my letter 2-3 days ahead of time that my mother and my older brother were in a town 25 years from us. We had to go to markets in order to get wheat, and our wheat to fill our quarter.
Yeah.
I used to bring out, I was working in a retail store, retail and wholesale. It was more wholesale than retail. I helped out and I was breaking in. It started when I was 12 years old, half days.
Yeah.
So I would close the store and get, we had many Gentiles that worked for us, that our children grew up in with us. And they would call on me every day. We used to give work to the people to the children of people that worked for us. Gentiles. And if I say we have to go, like there was a certain town in Ludwig that used to be beet markets once a week, I think Wednesday or Thursday. We have to deliver empty bags, and you have to pack the flour bags 200 pounds and the wheat is 200 pounds.
Yeah.
We used to deliver and all the cash that I had. So I would get there, we would leave at night, and we'd get there within 4 hours, 3 hours.
How old were you?
Well, I started to do this when I was about 14 years old.
14?
Yeah.
How old were you when you came to America?
And I want to bring out something what happened to me. So, like you see here, small hotels, they had them there too. They call it a stancia, Yiddish mostly. Well, I came in a few times that I stayed a few hours, sometimes overnight. And the Yiddish people talked about the Hebrew from the Chemish, from Rashi, from higher education like high school. I saw that I am very dull on it, that I don't know enough. I had a rabbi that was very good to the students. It didn't make no difference if a student wanted to stay 18 hours, he'd stay and study with
him. He was the teacher, the rabbi.
A teacher. Mm-hmm. Well, they had many of them, but
the well-fixed
families used to pick out the best. Oh. They generally used to have between 12 and 15 boys, no more. I come down to my rabbi, his name was Avraham Elliott, he had two names. He says, Naftulke, that my Yiddish name was Nathan Naftulke. Naftulke was Vista, Zigach Rabbe, ihr bin gewein, zwischen Eden. Ich hab gesehen, als ich kann sehr wenig lernen. Wo sie willst, ich will kommen. We used to open the store about 6:30. I used to go up 6 o'clock, have a little breakfast and go right out. And down a little bit.
Yeah.
So he says, how much time do you want to put in? I said, hey, Rabbi, I can't put in too much, but a stunde, he says to me. In Jewish, is a fuss is regel. He says, you must learn a regel, I have a same fees, Mr. Lehrer.
I don't understand Yiddish.
Well, I'm telling you, the regel is a fees. He says, you must learn a regel, you must come in with a same fees, as we learn the schnell. I said, what can I do, Rabbi? I get up early in the morning and I'm long in the store so many hours. I said, I just get up, get home and have my meal and I come to... So I used to move his clock back, so generally I used to spend it in 2 hours, about 4 or 5 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week when I wasn't in town, I had to go out of town.
So you studied extra.
And the 3 years I picked up
three,
more.
3 years you studied with them.
With them that I used to go out and like at night school,
I see.
I picked up more Yiddish than I did all my 8 years at 8 years that I went to
The school that you went to, did the rabbi teach there or did they have teachers come in?
The rabbi was the only teacher.
In the whole town?
No.
That's what I'm talking about, the regular school.
The regular Yiddish schools, yeah, the beginners used to get more children. They used to have helpers, the assistant, the alphabet and stuff like that. But the higher class, when you went already to a rabbi, that was like Chumash and Rashi, that you would call already high school education, he would have between 12 and 15 boys. He wouldn't take any more.
I see.
Because he wanted them to succeed, to do good.
Can I ask you a question? We were talking about your rabbi. I'd like to ask about your synagogue. Could you tell me about the synagogue?
Synagogue, we had a very nice synagogue, very close. It happened to me that my father's mother, grandmother, they used to call it the Hana Baba. When her husband died, my grandfather was a rabbi in town there, but he didn't make a living at being a rabbi. He used to be in cattle business besides that.
Cattle business?
Yes, he had a Jewish vendor. In fact, the man that did it, that used to supervise his business, lived yet when I left Europe, and he told me many things about it. Mm-hmm. So when he died, and the children were all well-to-do, our sons, so my grandmother, Hannah, gave away a double house. It was a whole double house within a half a block from our home.
And that was the synagogue?
And they built a synagogue. We had many synagogues, but our people
had... How many in the town?
Our people had to walk maybe four or five blocks to go to the synagogue.
How many
so
were
when
in
she
the
gave
town?
Them that, they built a synagogue, and we had about five, six synagogues.
In the little town?
Yeah.
Did you attend synagogue?
Oh, sure.
Did you...
We didn't attend a synagogue in Europe. I used to go every Saturday and every holiday.
Did you go daily to... you mentioned that you
no,
went...
No, not daily, no. We used to double fast at home make it short.
Okay.
Because you would be up so early in the morning.
What were your relations with the non-Jews in the town?
And our town was very good. But we had... Our town was built exactly like Pittsburgh. North side, south side. Mm-hmm. We had two bridges going over. There were two towns, one of them for a certain time, only about the 2 years before my father died, the Jews were allowed to buy property there. My father used to be very close with the officials. Maybe he used to give him gifts, but anyhow, he was very close. And they notified him, then my father bought an acreage, I don't know if it was 15 or 20 acres. He had a brother that wasn't good for business except to sit in love with the Gemara. You know what the Gemara means?
No.
The best book of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all he needed. He didn't care if his wife had could live out there, didn't have nothing. So you give it to him and build him a home. And you know what my uncle used to do? They built a railroad there. When he sold them the property, they were building the railroad. And they completed it, so people started moving Gentiles and buy lots. So
he
made a living. Every year, you used to sell a couple of lots, and you lived that way.
So you got along with the non-Jewish people in your town?
We got along in our town pretty good, but the other two towns were not so good, because one of them was what they call Al-Yuhopal, and Jews used to call it Arel. That was a territory, like they used to send maybe 100 years before my time, or 50 years before my time, they used to send all the gangsters or the committed crimes in that territory.
How far away was that from where you live?
Just about a couple of miles.
Oh, and they said
over
the
river. Over the river. They were, a lot of them were bad. Much I wouldn't say all of them, because I did business with some of them that were very nice. The majority were a bad bunch.
Did they bother the people in your town?
Huh?
Did they bother the people in your
they
town?
They didn't bother, but they used to steal when they could, and when they made a pogrom.
I
left after a pogrom.
Oh, you did leave after?
Oh, yes. In 1905, we had...
Our
territory was the first time attacked because we always opposed them, but we did. My brother got involved. We tried to keep them back, but the next day they were sending people to the Gwad, which was over right by the really good sized city. They sent in men with high powered rifles. They started the fire over the river to our side, and we had to run.
How many people were hurt during this pogrom?
Only a few people died from exposure, not from killing, because
the
fellows that had the rifles were Gentiles. They were all mostly drunk from the liquor that used to. So we fought them back as long as, but when they started the fire, even if they didn't strike us, but we couldn't tell when they will strike, so we left the territory and we went out out of town with the, you would say, with the maybe 300 feet away from the Yiddish homes, and we laid in the fields, and there was a Jewish hospital built, but wasn't completed yet. There was an enormous site the Jewish people built themselves, mm-hmm. that was empty yet not furnished, so all the women and children were there. They tried several times to get in there, but we fought them back with stones and bricks. I didn't sleep for 3 nights at all.
It lasted that long.
Huh?
It lasted that
so
long.
So the government sent in soldiers. Finally, the government, the world opinion was against them, and they sent in soldiers and the restored order.
I see. Did you belong to any political organization?
No, I was too young. I was 18 years old, but
if
I would stay. Huh?
Did your father belong to any?
Zionist organization.
Yes, that's what I meant.
I belonged to that too. Although we didn't pay no dues, but all the people used to pay dues. But the boys, we used to go to meetings.
And
as young as 15 years old, 14 years old, I went to meetings, speeches about Zionism. Because we sent a delegation to the first, must have been 13 or 14 years old. But I remember like today, there was a delegation from 5 or 6 people from our town, well-to-do business people, that went. And the first meeting with Herzl in Switzerland, I don't remember where it was. And they even took a Jewish man that I highly learned, but he had his almost paid up and used to make a poor living, but he said, if I could only go, that would be the best thing in my life that I've done. So the other 5 or 6 Jewish people, the business people that went there, said, you can go, it cost us so much, so cost us another expense, you'll take it.
Well, so your father was active in the Zionist?
Well, that was early, but there used to be Zionist organization. He must have been, because most of the Jewish people were.
Was he also involved in any of the socialist or the labor group?
We had no such a thing.
Like
we had
that.
No labor group.
He wasn't involved
socialists,
in
socialist. No. Socialists come in later on, we had students.
You were already out?
Huh?
You were already, your father was already gone. He had passed away, I guess.
My father died when I was less than 2 years old.
Yeah, so he would have been gone in the 1890s.
My father died, I was born in 1887.
So he died 1889.
He died before 89 was over. It was about 2 months before I was 2 years old.
Yeah. What was the relationship of the government to the Jews? The Russian
in our
government?
Town, we didn't complain. Till we had that year of 1904 and 5, there were threatening attacks. But we had the only reason we were saved before, we had Jewish men walk all night, so many men in each street. A few of us had revolvers, mm-hmm. none of us had rifles and clubs, and we protected the town.
But the government did not interfere, or did they finally?
They interfered when we were attacked on the third day. They sent these soldiers to our town.
And
half of the town was burned out away.
Oh, the town during the pogrom, the town was burned down.
Yeah, a good many. We had the double house. We were the richest landlord in our town as a home. I'll tell you what happened. About 2 years before 1902 or 1903, the rabbi from our town, with his son, which was already paid well salary, not like when my grandfather was a rabbi. My grandfather,
yeah.
I was still one, used to get eight ruble a week. But he made a living out of being in the cattle business. So they approached my mother. We had a lot of land and we had a lot of warehouses. We had one warehouse, it was running from one street to another, must have been 200 feet long. So they approached my mother, and we didn't need so much warehouse after my father died, because we only were in the milling and the threshing business. We were not in the lumber business, and then we used to sell the empty bags for wheat and flour. Everything was discontinued. So to make the story short, they pushed my mother to do a little remodeling, and she should build herself where we had the warehouse begin in the front street.
So that's where you live.
So we built a nice 5-room house from part of the warehouse. We had the walls and roof, but exact improvements, and we rented the double house for 200 rubles a year, which was the highest. Rental.
Was that damaged during the pogrom?
Huh?
Was that ruined during the pogrom?
Completely burned out.
Everything. Was the warehouse also?
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, well, I would like to know, but I would have so many questions to ask you. I'm going to
It was burned out, and my mother and me were put near burned. But we were in the new home.
Uh-huh.
The whole home, everything was built like a fortification. the doors were 2-inch thick. They couldn't break in there, no. We locked everything from inside, and we had a way of getting out from the back, and of course they didn't know about it. But when it came to the new home, it was very modern, like you build in this country.
So
everything was flimsy. So when they start attack our town, which it had, we had to run away from the bridge, where the bridges were immovable. It wasn't like in this country. It was made out of planks, sections, 3-4 sections. Happened to be that a Jewish man working for the government had control of the bridges. The center committee, a day before him, said, his name was Burr.
Can I ask you? I have a lot of questions, and you don't have that much time. What did you think of America at that time? What was your vision of America?
The most of the news that we got to America is when America went in with Spain in war.
But what did you think of America? How did you picture America in your mind?
I pictured that, we used to get a Jewish paper, Atzvira was a Jewish paper, it used to come to our home. We also used to get a Russian paper, of course, the Yiddish paper had more about America than anything else. But there's a country of freedom, people have the rights.
And the Jewish people,
there's a chance to work, to make a living.
Yeah. And why did you leave Russia to come to America?
Well, after the pogrom, things looked very blue. America sent in $10 million help in our territory. About 140 small towns were destroyed, partly destroyed, I would say, but the businesses was rubbed out like we had our store, the merchandise was our thing, and the only thing we had left is we had flour and grain in the mill that was owned by Gentiles, and they didn't attack that. So this was all our money that we had left, maybe a couple of thousand rubles. But after I was in this country for about 18 months, my mother sent me a letter that the Russian government, that time, the Russian government was more afraid of world opinion than the communists are. Mm-hmm. So when America sent in $10 million, they said that they'll give, they sent a committee from each town, Russian and Jewish, several people that they had business, knew what property value. They give my mother $2,300, 10% of our loss. They claimed that they judged that our property, our homes, and our business was destroyed was 23,000 rubles, so give us 10%. That's all they give to anybody.
So you were wise.
So my mother got 2,300 rubles after I was already about 18 months in this country.
Tell me, why
they give it to all the Jews, the same thing, 10%.
Why did you come to the United States?
Well, I'm telling you why.
Well, I know, but I mean, why did you pick the United States in preference to England or South Africa?
Well, United States was better known in our territory than any other country.
So that's why.
In the United States, we had many Jewish families in my town that they left 5 years, 3 years, and there used to be letters coming in. And
so that's why you knew about
it. We knew about the United States, and then the Jewish papers used to write about it, too.
No. In Europe, the Jewish papers did write glowing reports of the United States. Did they make
them? I wouldn't. After all, I was too young to remember everything. It was not glowing reports, but it was a country of freedom, that everybody had the same right, and that was enough for us.
Tell me, did you have a definite destination when you came to the United States?
Yes. My mother had a sister, her son was in this country, I don't know, 5 or 10 years before
Where?
The Spanish War, in Brooklyn. Actually, he lived in Connecticut. He was allowed to travel and never sit in Russia because he was an expert watchmaker,
so
a mechanic.
Is that where you went when you came to America?
This is where I landed, and I stayed with him, and I had a good home.
In Brooklyn or in Connecticut?
He moved from Connecticut to Brooklyn. He was a short time. He was only 8 or 9 months in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
He had a store, a jewelry store. He sold all kinds of watches and jewelry. And then with the main income, I guess, maybe it was from watchmakers, he was an expert watchmaker.
When you came from Europe, did you travel with a group or did you travel alone?
I traveled alone, but I traveled with a few people that I got to know when I got in there. But my plans were changed. I met a family, actually three families, a grandfather, a son,
on the boat.
And a grandson, no, when we went over the border.
From Russia,
we got into Brod, Austria. We stole the border. I couldn't get my passport.
Oh, you did go illegally across
the border. When I was 18, yeah. If I had to go to Europe, my mother had to go with me or all the border on the passport. So we had to steal over the border.
I see. How did you go about doing that?
We must have been, with us, I don't know how many more agents there was, but with us it must have been about 75 or 80 people, and mostly were men. I don't know if there was any woman with us. Mostly were men. Mm-hmm. I think two or three women was with us.
Yeah.
And at night, they brought us over. I was told that the Russian soldier was getting rubles for each one that he passed over.
Oh, I see.
The other one were getting an Austria up there. And we got into Brod. And
yeah.
In Brod, when I stayed there, I had to wait for my ship.
Where did you get the ship? Right in Brod?
No,
because So how did you get from Brod to...
Where did you get the ship? Actually, if I tell you what happened to me, then you know better. I met these three families.
Yeah.
I used to do business with the grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Once or twice, the father come in. So I met these three families. So the son knew me. The father didn't even recognize me. Because about every 4 or 5 weeks, he used to come in with a couple of wagons and buy from us flour.
Yeah.
They had lived in a town 25 or 30 yards from us.
Was this in Broad?
This was in Broad.
You found this family.
So,
yeah.
Three families.
Yeah.
They said to me, who's with you? I said, I'm...